This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200. Recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Going to the World Junior Championship, had tons of prospects as Pennelly walks in and fires, scores, and Pennelly gives Team White its third goal. And once again, Pennelly right in the middle of things.
In the box.
Marner across the crest of center ice to the near wing. In the slot. Goes to the far circle. On his backhand. Drives towards the net and scores! Marner puts it away with 19 seconds into overtime. And the Leafs win 3-2.
Natchez with a seat, and he does it again! Marty Natchez ends it in overtime! Carolina, 3-2 winners in Dallas!
TSN 1200.
Johnny slams the brakes on, drops it off the backhand again for Johnson. Kent does find some room, takes a shot, and he scores! And I got two words for you! Game over!
McCann moves it off the stick all the way across. Good pass, McCann right in, he scores! It's a short side stinger from who else? Jared McCann!
In the box.
And here's Sanderson, drops it back to the point. Giroux winds, fires, that's partially blocked, scores! Puck trickles off a stick, I think Pinto's, and Ottawa gets on the board. Back to the point, Sanderson. Here's Ridley Gregg, his shot right on, save is made, loose puck, scores! Giroux gets the goal, Ridley Gregg gets his first. National Hockey League point. Islanders back to the point. Aho fires it through. Forsberg makes the save. Loose puck. Nelson gets it. Scores! Rebound goal for Brock Nelson. And the Islanders get on the board.
Now with Kenny Walls. Here's Steve Lloyd.
Well, good morning. I hope you're all shoveled out. Or maybe you didn't have to go out anywhere today. Either way, here's the good news. I was up bright and early. You know, had to get everything cleared out, get my wife out, and my wife had to go to work. And listen, Kenny and I spoke about this off the top of the show. I have no shame about when I run my snowblower, okay? I've got multiple neighbors, and they pay for the plowing service, right, the tractor to come and the whole deal. Those guys show up at like 2:30 in the morning, and it wakes me up. So you know what? I got no problem. I'm going to run my snowblower where I got to run my snowblower if we have somewhere to go. Anyways, there's my I started with a rant. Maybe I'm fired up. The blood's pumping. I've already been outside today clearing out the driveway and stuff here. So good morning. Good news is, though, it's not the super heavy stuff. It was fluffy enough. I think Kenny knows what I'm talking about. He's co-hosting and producing this morning as well as Kenny was in the same boat this morning, making sure that he could get downtown to work on time. How are you, Kenny?
I'm doing okay. Up nice and early. Made sure was able to get out, and yeah, I got a bigger driveway than most, which is nice when you have people over. Lots of room to park. But I'm out in the country, so nobody cares really if you park out on the street either. But it just makes for such a long time shoveling.
How you feeling?
I feel
can
good.
You work
I know. Well, I got the snow blower, so that's not too bad. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can use that, but it doesn't. I almost prefer shoveling at points in time. The snowblower is just a frustration.
To me, snowblower etiquette, it's not the same thing as why are you cutting your lawn, right? I would say before, now people are going to say pick their own time. I will say cutting your lawn middle of the summer before 9 o'clock a.m. on the weekend, you know what? Your neighbors might have a problem with
that. Yeah. And why are you doing it? It's still wet. It's still mostly dewy anyway, so go away.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, snowblower is different. If you got to go to work. You have some place to be. You got to clear it. So I have no guilt. I have no guilt whatsoever, Kenny, on that one. I feel good.
Yeah, I waited. I did the shoveling portion closer to the house first, shoveled all that into the driveway area, and then got the snowblower going after. So it wasn't too much later, but it was. I tried to wait as long as possible, because I was looking up and down the street, and we don't have a very big street, and nobody else was really out yet. Okay. So I just waited. But so then I saw a car drive by, and I'm like, okay, I'm good now.
My wife has to be out the door in the 6 o'clock hour to make it to work on time, okay? So you can do the math. It was an early one here for me this morning. Good morning to one and all. 10:16 in the box. Snow day, kids. Yep, it's a snow day. All good, though. We're going to take everybody through it till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Busy show lined up for you. On a Senators off day, they are not going to practice today. They're just going to head straight to Toronto, get set for their date with the Leafs tomorrow night, and then back home to start a home-and-home with the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday. Return engagement Tuesday next week, and then that's it for Sens hockey for a while. They're going to play Tuesday in Montreal, and then they will not play again, and that's the 31st of January on the Tuesday. They do not play again until February the 11th at home against the Edmonton Oilers. So thoughts are always welcome. On the show, 67's forward Brad Gardner is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Going to try to jumpstart some karma for Brad, right? That's what we're doing here. We had him on just on the eve of the start of the season, and he just flew out of the gate scoring goals. So is it good karma time, Kenny? Is that what we're doing here this morning?
Well, I think so. Why not? We haven't. I'm trying to think as well because I interview the players throughout the season, but I don't think I've talked to Brad as of late. So maybe that good karma, that good feeling from TSN 1200 and the broadcast that we had with him has kind of worn off. So maybe it is time just to get him back up and going and give him that confidence boost.
All right, lots to talk about in Sens land. What a game by Ridly Gregg. How's that for a debut when you tie an NHL record for shots on goal in your first NHL game? Picks up an assist, made some great defensive plays. Awesome debut for Ridly Gregg. Unfortunately, another injury, and that's Cam Talbot. Kevin Mandelazy has officially been recalled, and that's it. Bebo's hurt. Sogard's hurt. David Foote, who calls the B-Sens games in Belleville. They're on a road trip right now. They won last night in Laval. Scotty Sabourin had the overtime winner. He, in fact, leads the B-Sens in goals this season. Logan Flodell is the only healthy goalie, and he doesn't have an NHL component to his contract. But that's all Troy Mann has to work with right now. So Sogard is apparently on the trip. Hasn't been cleared yet, so we'll see. That's why Mandelazy's been recalled. So look for Anton Forsberg to start tomorrow night. And Kevin Mandelazy to back up, and we'll see. It'd be interesting. I wonder if they'd give Mandelazy a start on Saturday night. He's a Montreal kid playing against the Habs. Wouldn't that be something, right? It's a back-to-back, and usually you like to split these things, but maybe you just roll with Forsberg because DJ Smith made it sound like he didn't anticipate Talbot being available for any of the three remaining games before the break. So,
yeah,
injuries, Kenny, they always crop up, and there's another one.
They do, and I feel bad for Troy Mann down in Belleville and the time that he's been there, the amount of injuries that he's had to deal with, in particular to what seems like goaltending every year. There's a revolving door of goaltenders, and to not have Sogard, to have Bebo out, I remember the injuries, but then this morning I saw that news about Mandelazy and being recalled, and it just crossed my mind. Okay, then you go check, and just the injury situation there. That's crazy, and I wouldn't rule it out of him starting, but that would be, I highly doubt it. I don't think you'd want to put a kid in that situation. I'm not sure whether he's 100% ready for it. I think he's still a decent prospect, but that's a high-pressure situation to go into.
Okay, so to talk more about the Sens later in the show. And also, there's if you missed the pregame show last night, and Gord always interviews the coach, and this was so notable. There's a different tone right now and a feel where the Sens were at. They entered play 13 points out. Now they're 11 points out as of this morning after the win last night of a playoff spot. You got these three games before the break. And listen, there's no give up. You keep pushing. Coaches continue to push. Players continue to push. But it just seems that there's a different kind of feel right now. And DJ, in one of his responses to Gord just mentioned the word, you know, playoffs and how far out you are. And DJ Smith almost cut him off. We're not going to talk about playoffs. We got to talk about the next game. And I loved it because the whole tone from DJ Smith was, you know what, we haven't been good enough to deserve to talk about playoffs on a consistent level. That was my feel. And he's right. He's right. Last night was a solid effort, some great individual performances. As a former coach used to say, it's an everyday league. Do it again. That was Paul McLean. Do it again. They got to do it again. And they've got a back-to-back and another one against the Habs here, and we'll see what it's like. Like, give yourself a consistent chance to win hockey games. And unfortunately, since their good run in December, that hasn't happened often enough, and that's why they find themselves as far out as they are right now. So we'll see on that front. Our friend Ian Mendez will join us from The Athletic, talk all about that and more at noon. And Dean Brown's going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock. Voice of the Sens here at TSN 1200. Sends an NHL insider. I don't know if Dean will be in Toronto by then or en route or close to it, but no practice today. Team just taking off to Toronto today to get set for tomorrow night's game against the Leafs. Web poll question of the day. Let's hit on that before we'll take our first break, Kenny. What will the Sens do with Ridly Greig's season? You have three options, and they're not the Brian Kilray get the puck out of the zone options. There's three options to the web poll. Is it full-time at Ottawa? Is it he's still up and down, or is he sent down to stay? To me, I found this to be kind of an easy answer. I went, he's up and down with the B-Sens. Yep. Because I'm just looking at the calendar. The B-Sens got games on Feb 2nd and 4th. When the Sens aren't playing hockey, he's 20 years old. I think he goes down, he plays some hockey when the Sens are on their all-star slash bye week break. So I think he's up and down. That's second at 26.5%, full-time in Ottawa at 69.3%, sent down to stay 4.2%. What say you, Kenny Walls?
Well, there's a big difference. What would you like to see and what will the Ottawa Senators do? I'd like to see Ridly Greig up, and I was of the thought process that maybe he should spend the entire year down in Belleville, get accustomed to playing pro hockey, an opportunity to get bigger, get accustomed to it. After seeing him for one game, I want to see him up in the NHL more, whether that's the rest of the year. I don't think so. But I think that you're bang on with your assessment. He'll be up and down that time off with the All-Star break and the bye. It just makes sense for him to go down and play in Belleville. The other thing that makes sense is Belleville's on the outside looking in right now of the playoff picture. If they can find their way back in, regain a little bit of health, you send them down and you let them get that push, because there's a good chance that Ottawa won't be doing that. So if that does occur and Ottawa does find themselves outside by a large margin still as you get towards the end of the AHL season and before that deadline happens, you put them back down there just for transit paper purposes, and then when the time comes, you assign them there full-time and allow them to have that push towards the playoffs. So I think You're bang on in your assessment, and it will be up and down for the rest of the year.
All right. With that, keep your votes coming, though. Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. Hit our website at tsn1200.ca. Kenny, because I'm an idiot, we're a little backlogged with some giveaways, so we're going to do it twice today, twice tomorrow, okay?
Yeah.
It's Thursday. I've done this once this week, and I have no excuse. I'm not going to try to make up some crap. I've got no excuse, okay? You get talking. Meth and I were just—we were riffing yesterday, and just so that's yesterday. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying.
It's a reason.
What happened? It's a reason. It's a reason why I'm a moron. Hey, that's a better way to put it. I got reasons why I'm stupid. Anyways, I've got two today, two tomorrow, four pack of tickets to go to the Ottawa RV Expo. Okay, that's coming up on February 3rd to the 5th. That's next weekend, Friday through Sunday. Not this weekend, next weekend, Friday through Sunday. Four pack of tickets daily this week, except today and tomorrow. We'll do it twice daily. And you know what, Kenny? Why don't we knock one out right now?
Okay. Let's do it.
I want caller number 15 to Kenny Walls, and the first, caller 15 to Kenny Walls. And when you're caller 15, you better have the correct answer to the question. And if you're wrong, Kenny, just take the next one until you get it right. I want people paying attention as we sign the show on, especially when I whine about the snow and how early I was up with my snowblower. But you really should pay attention to what we got coming up. Who's our first guest on the show? Who's our first guest on the show coming up at 11? Let Kenny know, 750-1200, star 1200. 15th caller, get that answer correct. Four pack of tickets to the Ottawa RV Expo will be yours. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
The this podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, 10:31. Kenny, who's our winner for our first four-pack of tickets to the RV Expo?
Well, Derek Saunders is going to have three best friends because the winner.
Nice.
Way to go, Derek. Way to call in.
And don't worry, everybody. If I remember, we'll do it again before 2.
Yeah, he knew that Brad Gardner is our first guest coming up in half an hour.
Look forward to that. In the Box continues on TSN 1200 on this snowy digging out Thursday morning. Off day for the Sens off to Toronto after their nice 2-1 win over the Islanders last night. Came at a price, so another injury. Cam Talbot is, according to DJ Smith and his postgame comments last night, he doesn't sound like a coach that's counting on him being available for any of the three games before the break, which comes after the game Tuesday in Montreal. So in Toronto tomorrow, home to Montreal Saturday, at Montreal on Tuesday. Then it's the All-Star / bye week break, and Oilers on the 11th of February at CTC will be the next game after that. And, well, Kevin Mandelazzi has been recalled by the Ottawa Senators to presumably, back up Anton Forsberg tomorrow night in Toronto. So we'll see how the injury situation and all that plays out. Let's do what I think a lot of Sens fans were doing during the game and post-game show and still talking about it this morning. I mean, you're always looking forward to watching, especially a fairly highly touted prospect, right? A first-round pick. Great World Junior before he was hurt. I think we all know that Ridly Greig is a very, very good prospect, and he's been playing very well in Belleville. So, of course, fans and media alike, it's something new, right? Let's see what this looks like. It's always exciting to watch somebody play their first NHL game. Extra little buzz for that. So I didn't think he'd be overwhelmed by it. He just comes across as a pretty mature player in that sense. Of course, you probably have some inner butterflies. I wasn't expecting that. That was outstanding. I mean, and he was put in a great spot between Giroux and DeBrincat, got on the second power play unit as well. He did not look out of place at all, obviously. In fact, he was a big reason why they won the game. He played that well. He got 8 shots on goal, picked up an assist, played, just under 14 minutes or so. Outstanding, Kenny. Outstanding NHL debut for Ridly Greig. So, this will be fun to watch him, because we didn't see a heck of a lot of that last night, but he's got that agitating style of play as well, right?
Absolutely.
And now you're going up against the next three games against, your closest geographical rivals. You got the Leafs, and you got 2 against the Habs. And Ridly Greig's going to play in those games. That should be fun to observe as well.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I loved his game, as everybody did. Haven't seen any negative comments about him. He came as advertised, and yes, he was put in a good spot, but others have been put in good spots before too and not delivered. The way that he performed, you mentioned the calmness before the game. Yes, you're excited. Yes, didn't get the best night's sleep, I'm sure, the night before, but it was almost like he knew what to expect, and he was prepared enough for it to go out there and deliver, and we got exactly what was promised out of a player that's still very young and still has lots of room to grow. But the compete level is off the charts for this player. The skill is obviously there. Everything else, the skating is fine. But the compete level is what sets him apart. And when you compete as hard as he does, you can overcome a few other things, and maybe nerves being one of them. You can overcome that and just get out there and play your game. And love what he did. The breakup of the 2-1-1 defensively was outstanding. He played it beautifully, and we saw others last night in other games that our natural defenseman didn't play it nearly as well. It was nice to see, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. There are going to be ups and downs in his game, as there are with every player, every young player coming to the league. You don't expect what Ridly Greig did on a night-to-night basis. It's a tough league for a reason. But Early returns are fantastic. And what we saw at the World Juniors and what those out West saw on a nightly basis from Ridly Gregg is what he brought in game number one in the NHL. And you hope that he's able to continue that on a more regular basis now.
I thought his very first shift of the game, changing on the fly, he made a great play, got involved, and broke up an Islanders foray into the O-zone. But it was also an instant welcome to the NHL moment, as he thought he was just going to pursue the puck and get it out, and then nobody gave up on the play from the Islanders' perspective and got right on him, right? And I thought that was great that happened in the very first shift. You do something great right away, and then it's like, oh, this is the best league now.
Yeah.
And there's a little more pursuit. And okay, I got you. And he was phenomenal. What a game. What a game from Ridly Gregg.
And the smarts are there. So you have the compete, you have the smarts, and you have the skill. There's a very good base for what Ridly Gregg can be. And we saw the same thing out of Shane Pinto during his first season before everything happened. You can tell there's a good mind on that player who knows where to be in the right situation. Now it's just a matter of unlocking a little bit more, having them more comfortable. And I like the 8 shots on goal. His mindset was to get pucks on net. And when you're playing with players like DeBrincat and Giroux, it's easy to defer. And we've seen far too much deferring from Sens players, in my opinion, passing up on grade A opportunities for A-plus opportunities that don't materialize. And maybe that's part of the reason why the 5-on-5 play hasn't been as good, because you're always looking for that next play instead of the great play that's in front of you. You're looking for the spectacular play. Whereas Ridly Gregg just put the puck on net, and it resulted in good things when Claude Giroux found a rebound off a Gregg shot for his first point. I like the mindset that he comes to the game with.
All right, get your thoughts coming in here. Keep them coming. They're already coming on. Billy J. Sens is a,
Hi, how Billy good of J.
a how good of a game does Gregg play if he played on the Sens third or fourth line rather than Giroux and Kat? Well, that's the whole point, Billy J. This is why, if you're going to call up a guy that you think that highly of, put him in a position to succeed. And we talked about this with Shooter on the pregame last night, talked about it with Mark Bathot, of course, another former player, defenseman, not a forward, but same thing applies. We've seen this, unfortunately. And it's not just Ottawa. It happens from time to time over the years, right? You call up a player who is a certain type of player, and the reason why this player is getting the call-up from the American League is because they're doing their thing there. Well, whatever their thing there, doesn't it make sense to put them in the same kind of spot and see if they can continue to do their thing that made them successful at the previous level to earn the call-up? Right? It just makes so much sense. Doesn't always happen that way, as we know, right?
Yeah, one of the main things that you hear from coaches is we just want him to play his game. Well, it's difficult for a skill guy, a player that wants to create, to try and do that on a lower line. And you have to change your game based on the players that you're playing with. So, yeah, you want to put him in the right situation, and in a situation where they feel most comfortable. And Gregg, I think, can play and adapt to any type of game that you really want to play, but putting him in that situation where you project him to be eventually is a great idea, and it worked out well last night.
All right, we'll take another break here because we want to make sure we have our cadence right, because the interviews start coming fast and furious at 11 here. But Josh wrote on the snow that sent this in, and Josh, I've met you. Listen, it's not like you're towering, okay? Did you have trouble walking with the snow up to your waist? It's okay, Josh. All right. I got you. Okay.
You know what? I'll get your back here, Lloydie. The blowing snow makes it so it can be up there. And it's not just the hey, we got 25 centimeters as of 9 o'clock. That's a bad joke, Josh. But the blowing snow, hey, you could actually get up there. I had up to my waist at points in time on my driveway. So yeah, you know what, Josh? Yeah, it was difficult walking in the snow. Forget you, Josh. You and your jokes.
With the way the wind was in my neighborhood, everything was pushed up against the garage door. So it was actually closer to chest high, to be honest with you, right there. There was a nice drift. So I had to kind of like get that off and not scrape the door, right? A lot of just using your hands with your gloves, right? Not a good idea to get a shovel with a nice metal edge. Let me just scrape the door. No, you know what? You don't want to be doing that.
Well, you could. You just have other problems after.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's... so Josh, how's your joke now? Hey, buddy?
Take that.
Hey, Josh? Good listener.
Brad Gardner is going to join us coming up at 11. Ian Mendez at noon. Dean Brown at 1. And you at 1200. Standard text message rate supply. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200. Steve, you need to go inside the garage and Kool-Aid man your way out through the snow. That's a thought. Could give that a go. We're good, though. We're good. We're all clear for now. It's still trickling down. Might have to make, well, definitely another pass is coming. There will be that nice bank at some point when the plow comes, right? So we still got that to look forward to. I know. Take a number. Take a number. Sam, the Sens fan, as we're talking some Sens and Ridly Gregg and his great performance last night, and there, it was more than just that. That was a strong performance against a struggling team. That's six in a row now for the Islanders, and what, they got two wins in their last, I think, 13 games now at this rate. Lou Lamoriello yesterday, and he was at the rink and did meet the Islanders media a little bit and was pointing the finger at himself. You certainly get the feeling there could be a Lou bomb out of the blue, right? Where something big happens as he makes some sort of a change, big trade, something else. But anyways, a win is a win. And that was a strong performance by the Sens against the Islanders last night. Sam, the Sens fan, writes on text, 12-1200. I feel like the Sens did Sokolov wrong with his progress when he was called up. He didn't play his usual game and put him on the third and fourth line. As someone who drives the net when he's a shooter, which resulted in no offensive production, chance to show his skills. They maybe learned from that or made a better decision with Ridly. Can't argue on the results of having a player to be put in a more ideal situation for their style of game. Sam, the Sens fan. Yeah, and it was easy. Like, let's be fair on this as well. It was so easy to put Ridly Gregg in that position because of the direct Norris injury. Do a little plug and play. Move Pinto down with Batherson as well. You're spreading things out a little bit. It was one game. We'll see how this goes now the rest of the way. But speaking of Batherson, Kenny, I thought that was his best game in quite some time.
Yeah.
He was engaged physically, moving his feet. I liked it. I liked what I saw from Drake Batherson yesterday.
Saw a couple nice plays in the defensive zone as well. Just taking the time that was afforded to him to make a proper play. Instead of rushing something up along the wall, made a nice move to just settle things down in his own zone. And too often, just see rush plays, and it causes turnovers and plays that aren't necessary. I agree with you. I really like Batherson's game. Had that puck off the outside of the post as well. I didn't see anything wrong with his game. Then, if he continues to play like that, he's not going to be leading the Green Jacket for very much longer. He was solid, and I probably deserved a little bit more. But a low scoring game like that, you're not going to get too many rewards when there are a few post hit. But yeah, better game from Batherson for sure.
And you mentioned, we talked about it yesterday, unfortunately, with the minus beside his name this season. So I'm looking at the event summary from last night, and I see his 5-on-5 line mates from last night ended up plus one in Shane Pinto and Derek Brassard, and he ends up even. And you're thinking, what happened was Drake Batherson's on the first power play unit. Second unit was on the ice. Islanders' power penalty had just expired. And that was a point shot from Sanderson that hit something, and then Pinto put it in. So that's, but if you're just looking at the sheet, you're thinking, come on, throw me a bone here.
Yeah.
My 5-on-5 line mates ended up plus one of the night. I played very well, and I ended up with even. I didn't make any progress in that.
And you know what? I actually liked the way that DJ used him as well, bumping him up. And DJ talked about it in the post-game press conference where he bumped him up after penalties. When Joseph was out there killing penalties, and okay, well, here's Batherson. He's going to get a chance, and it's a different look, and it's not as easy to prepare for against, and you're not as spread out at that point. You're kind of loading up, but it's only temporary. It's a nice change of pace, I think, and that, I think, helped him out as well, where you're getting rewarded with an extra little bit of ice time as well. It's not that pure reward. It's not that regular shift, but it's a nice extra added bonus.
All right, we're going to get into a few other things later in the show, including if you haven't heard Rick Tocchet from the post game last night, as the Canucks, after winning their first game against Chicago at home, they went to Seattle to play the Kraken, obviously a much better team than the Blackhawks, and they got thumped 6-1. And Rick Tocchet met the media, as coaches do after games, and that's his second game as head coach of the Canucks. He was trying to bite his tongue. We're not going to run you the whole thing, but it's because it gets redundant. He keeps coming back to the same talking points, and we'll run that for you next hour. Have a little fun with that in our next segment.
Yeah, I actually like the redundancy that he comes back with, because it just shows that he's the frustration that he has after two games, and I'm sure he's watched hours and hours of film leading up to it, because it's been known that he's going to be taking this position for a while now. So he's been watching a lot of Canucks games and watching a lot of tape, and I'm sure he sees the same things happening over and over and over again, and the frustration level that he has. And once we get to it, and I don't want to give too much of this away, but calling a team soft in your second game as a head coach.
Ooh, that's a strong word.
And he said, I don't want to call them soft, but they were soft. And it's just, oh, wow, okay, we're coming in hot here. Bobby Ryan came in hot. Rick Tocchet's coming in uber hot. Like, he's sizzling coming in to Vancouver, and the way that he's talking to the press immediately.
To me, there are two four-letter words that are the worst words you can say about a player or a team. They're quit and soft. And Tocchet used one of them last night in his second game. Right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the types of words, you know, you're around hockey all the time. That's universal. You use the word quit or the word soft about a hockey team or a hockey player, you wince. It's like, oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad language, right? We can say these words on the radio, but they're worse than some other words that we can't say. Those are two of the worst things you can say to describe a team or a player, and then Tocchet used one of them last night. Game two. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how that's going to go over in the room, but brand new coach will obviously have a long, long, long leash in Vancouver just based on the guys that are already paying. And, well, it's a multi-year contract and you're two games in, so I think he's using his freedom, as you talked about in a text exchange earlier, a nice comfort level in a multi-year deal.
Yeah, if the players didn't know what time it was, they should, right? Tocchet's coming in armed with a new multi-year deal after everything that's gone on. Who do you think's got the hammer, right? Maybe some players that can be untouchable? No. The way this has played out, the way this has played out in Vancouver, and then Rick Tocchet has no problem using that word. He kind of says he does, but you don't say that out loud unless you have the utmost confidence that it's your show. And I can say whatever I want. I got a multi-year deal, went through my interview process. I know exactly what was said publicly. Can you imagine what was said privately about the culture with the Canucks? We know what was said publicly. Can you imagine what was said with Tocchet in the interviews with Alvin and Rutherford? I mean, yeah. So maybe if it's another bad performance in the next game, he'll say quit as well. Sure, why not?
But how do you ramp it up from there? That's like going in and kicking the garbage can in the first period and the team plays like garbage again. What do you do? How do you ramp it up from there?
That's a great point, right? We always talk about you can play certain cards every once in a while. Well, he's played a big one right away here, two games in, calling his team soft.
And maybe that's just an attention grabber, and then you back off a little bit, you ease off. But he's going in there to be a different coach than Bruce Boudreau. And I think he's showing his cards early on here, and maybe he backs off. But how do you ramp it up from there? Because this Canucks team has been on a roller coaster the entire year, both on and off the ice with the coaching fiasco and the rumors that were swirling around for so long. And it's more than just the week and a half, because That's a name, Rick Tocchet's a name that I had heard a long time ago through the insiders that they just put out there. There was no confirmation at that point, but it's like, okay, well, at some point this season, Boudreaux's done. Here is his replacement. And it's essentially a done deal. And that's outside of that week and a half. So it's been a long time coming. Their performance on the ice has been a roller coaster. Win a bunch, lose a bunch. Rick Tocchet has a tough job, and to call his team soft, and we'll get more into it later on, that's one out of the chamber already.
Maybe that's all part of it as well, as the organization has no problem with Tocchet being that aggressive. Maybe he was looking for a spot to be that aggressive with his assessment because they're trying to move bodies. Let's separate, okay, this is the way it's going to be here. If anybody doesn't like it, then, like, who's untouchable on that team? Like, I keep coming back to three names, probably Demko, but he wasn't playing well before he was hurt. Probably Hughes, probably Pettersson. Everybody else? But those are probablys.
Yeah. Well, on 32...
All bets are off here.
Yeah, on 32 Thoughts, I think they said that the only untouchable is Pettersson. Everybody else is a legitimate conversation if the price is right. I believe I've got that correct, but it's those are the three names that you would put out there, and I'd narrow it down to two. I think you would look at Demko again if the price is right. I love Hughes. I love what he can do, but if you get blown away by an offer or those players don't want to be there, they don't want to be a part of the solution, then maybe, yeah, okay,
yeah,
well, let's move on.
Some positive news for Canucks fans. It appears negotiations are heating up with Kuzmenko's agent, Dan Milstein, and they're looking maybe at a two-year bridge deal anywhere between $5 to $6 million, whereas the narrative before was definitely taking this player to unrestricted free agency. So there's that. Well, something else to watch there.
Yeah,
okay, we'll take a
decent
break.
Decent payday, eh? $5 or $6 million over a couple of years if they do that bridge deal?
Hey, you know what? The way he's played, the way he scored goals, as advertised.
Yep.
You know, it's not like he doesn't deserve it if this is the player he already is and what he still could be. We're going to talk to Brad Gardner of the Ottawa 67s coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200.